Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. Grand Rising. Thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today you'll see me, but you won't hear my voice much because this is the day for the men-only discussion led by our co-host Kareem Hamid, and we've got a fantastic show for you because one of the things that so many people have been concerned about is how our elders can play a role in reversing this horrible trend of violence. Well, the only way to stop it is if our community comes together, the youth with the elders, and form a truce between those warring factions that have had our community in a state of urban warfare for too long. As we approach this summer, there are many who are concerned because some cities throughout the United States have literally been war zones and kept people living in a state of fear. Well, today our men-only discussion is featuring a group of youth and come together to form such a coalition that will bring the peace. And we'll be talking to them today. So we'll be right back with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family as we discuss how elders can inspire youth to live in peace. Yes, they can, and we are the people we have been waiting for. So we want you to call in with your comments. Now, men, call in 515-605-9891. This is a men-only discussion. So, women, if you have something to say, we want you to call in at 515-605-9325. And we'll be talking during our commercial breaks every half hour to give us some insight about this topic and how we as men, how the men can help and how we as women can be supportive. So we'll be right back after this quick break.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hallelujah. Greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom
and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Before opening up the mic of Reason Fellows, he's the founder of the National Black Agenda. I want to share with you a statement from our beloved leader, may Almighty God grant him the highest station in the paradise, Dr. Martin Luther King. May we take note of what he is saying here. It is very important. I bring you now the voice of the late leader, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have any. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Right? Okay. Praise be to God. I hope that message registers with us. There's another segment to that speech I want to share. Okay. It's where he pleads with us. That we should write our own declaration of independence, that no one can do this for us. This is a job that we must do. Please with us to to reach down into our soul and take the self-asserted pen of freedom and write our own Declaration of Independence, write our own freedom. No one can do this for us. Use your self-asserted manhood. Make your self-asserted manhood to write our own Declaration of Independence, that this is a responsibility that falls upon all of us, especially as men. We are responsible for that which we are charged with, and we have the responsibility of our communities, our wives, and our children. To stop looking for others to come and liberate us. Liberation is within our soul and our mind. So with those statements, I want to now open up the mic of Reverend Fellows. If you would, please share with us, please give a brief introduction of yourself and share with us the positive that you offer in the way of liberation of our young men, of our young youth in the streets, if you would, please.
Well, first of all, let me thank you, my brother, for allowing me to be on the show. I spoke with you the other night where we had a powerful resurrection in Chicago that's going to shake up the world. And I want to thank Sister Naima and especially Women's Month, my mother Geraldine and my grandmother Clyde Fellows and all the sisters around the globe. Happy Women's Month. We appreciate you. We love you. And thank you for all you've done. Just briefly, I'm Reverend Fellows, I'm a co-founder of National Black Agenda. I've been blessed to just be a servant for God. I took my athleticism as a sports player into activism, and I've been on fire doing the work as I was in one of the top point guards in the state of Illinois in 1978, Simeon High School, where losing is not acceptable. So that concept allows me to compete at this level, so God chose me for this work, and I was able to meet a man named Reverend Dr. Charles Smith of the African American Heritage Museum and Black Veterans Archive out of Aurora, Illinois, the only museum in the world that recognized 7,246 African American men and women who fought and died in Vietnam, and he gave me a taste of history, and I've been on fire since 1989 after graduating from college at Aurora University. But with that led me to do a research on every black agenda since the 1800, Philadelphia, Niagara Falls, Pan-African, NAACP, Urban League, the first Gary convening in 72, to come back to the rededication when Minister Farrakhan spoke, and was able to bless to be there this last weekend on the 50th anniversary of the National Black Gary Convention to speak about a published book that we've launched, that we consolidated. It's a breathing document called the National Black Agenda, and it's a breathing book published by our brother Brian Gorman. It's a great read, but in that, God allowed me to look at all this research and bring a powerful team together of scholars at every level, and we breathe this document that's going throughout the country, being well received. It's simplified. It's in black pages so the average person can read it for policy. With that, each part of the component, education, pandemic, part of that component is working with young people, faith-based, and the leadership of Dr. Gail Frazier. But I say that to say that what happened the other night was a continuing work of that black agenda into the streets of Chicago. We have to, we've tried everything in Chicago to stop the violence in Chicago, but what we're going to do this time, we're going to kill violence with love, contract, business, and jobs. And we have not done that effectively as black leadership in Chicago. We got 1,000 people murdered, 80% black on black, most of them black men, and most of them are young black children, girls and boys. We have the most murderous time in Chicago in 25 years. And so we have a bad report card with the first black president, the first black mayor, the first black senator, Seaway Bank, a black-owned bank now owned by a white credit union. We lost all five banks, no black grocery store, one black gas station, and the Chicago Defender is now online. And WVON, who we love so hard, has moved out of Chatham down into the South Loop. So we've all closed 150 schools. So we're in trouble here in Chicago. The mayor of the city of Chicago, who's a black woman, does not like another black woman who's over there, the Cook County Commissioner, Ms. Pretwinkle, and then Kim Fox, who's also the attorney. So we have three black women, one over the police department and one over the county jail, which is the largest population of black people, and another one over the criminal justice system and law. And they all are not getting along. And the FOP, Chicago Police, don't get along with them. And the superintendent of police that's from out of town, his sergeants have voted in no confidence. So May 30th is the most bloodiest time kicking off the summer. So this is a lawless situation. Ain't nobody coming. So God laid on my heart and a couple of other brothers, a brother named Jeff Maxwell, who did some time in the prison, and the Untouchables, and Chicago Peace Commission. We came together as a coalition. How do we stop this violence before it get off March 30th? And so what we begin to do is use our network. I'm one of the most prolific networkers, not to brag, but God has had me blessed to be in a relationship with all these people, young, old, and in between. So we reached out to the different fractions on the west side of Chicago, near K-Town, over in Inglewood, and over in O'Block, over in the Pocket, in the Wild 100. So all the communities that young men are creating havoc, I reached out to young men that have influence to change their life, and they agreed to come to a press conference at a black-owned hotel in South Loop and say that we're going to commit to a bloodless summer, and we're going to get the young people together, and we're going to apologize them for dropping the ball on everything I mentioned. No black bank, no black grocery store, 150 schools closed. And so those young men came from all parts of the city. We gave them an apology. They accepted it, and we let them go forth. And we came to make an apology and bat their hand. So they told us what we needed and what needed to be done, the Nation of Islam and other brothers. So it was just a powerful to see young men articulate their statement of who they are and what they feel and give solution, apologizing to black women, saying how the black woman is not being respected. This is coming from the young brothers, saying, one young brother said, redlining, I come to talk to you about redlining, but not gentrification, but being redlined as a black man, being stereotyped with a hoodie, can't get a job in my own community. So we just, man, it was so powerful to see what God can do. And what we're doing from that is mobilizing these young men for a campaign that we call 40 Days and 40 Nights. Please put down the gun and rain agape love on a black man. Stop the killing and start the building campaign, Dr. Webb Evans. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, May 30th, we're going to love on the shooter, love on the looter, love on every brother in this city and raise them up. We've organized black women last Saturday at the theater. Their sisters, they got together to watch the movie Pray the Devil Black to Hell, that elected the first black woman president of Liberia, where the women were able to pray, galvanize Christian women, and they put on white, and they stopped the violence and took out the dictatorship, and the young brothers stopped killing. So there's a movement in Chicago, a bunch of men and women, black women, going to lift black men up, and we're asking them to talk 40 days and 40 nights, just put something positive up on the airwaves. So, man, I'm not going to go long, but I'm still on fire to hear them young men articulate what they want, and we're committed to love on them to death, that they're going to have to run out of Chicago with God. The city is being cursed. Chirac, we're going from Chirac to Jerusalem, a city of peace. We're looking for the stones that the builders rejected. We're going from Jerusalem to Chitosa, Oklahoma. We're going to be Chitosa Economic Development, Black Wall Street. I'm a co-founder of Black Wall Street Chicago. From that to Shiloh. And with that, I'll be quiet, brother, just letting you know that God is going to shake up Chicago. We're going to have a bloodless summer based on the young people making the call. Thank you so much, my brother. And as you said about the music, I commend that young brother, because clear the airways, brother, because I'm out of Indiana. They're attacking the airwaves there, and we're going to organize these women and men, and we're going to go out to these radio stations that are belittling our women. So there's a movement in Chicago. It's called Shirushlim instead of Chirac. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. Alhamdulillah. Praise that is praise be to Almighty God for that movement of love. There is no emotion more stronger than the emotion of love. Praise be to Almighty God. I see you have far-reaching goals. You know, it is comprehensive. Praise be to Almighty God of accentuating the positive. And I'm grateful to hear that that there is an effort to provide income, to provide income to our community. We need entrepreneurship in the communities in which we live. We're consistently buying from others and not benefiting from that. Providing employment opportunities for our young youth. That is so comprehensive, and I'm grateful to hear that you first let me say this. I'm older than you. I know that. And I have to apologize for our generation for dropping the ball, for dropping the ball. We were on our way toward doing for self, and through social engineering, giving us a negative message. Many of us fell victim to that negative message of being playboys and playgirls, and we dropped the ball. I want to personally apologize to you and our youth, but know that we were victims of a very, very sophisticated scheme that took our attention from off of our movement toward true liberation. And that as males and females, we must forgive each other. We are victims. We are victims of a strategic social engineering. Let's stop fighting one another. Let's stop arguing with one another and come to the realization that we can put the parts back together. Praise be to Almighty God. I thank you, my beloved brother. Alhamdulillah, which means all praise is due to Almighty God. I want you now, let me see.
Centrell is on. He's got another number.
Yes.
For it, on. It might be 7312721. It might come to red. You see it?
And as I can say, brother, I received
okay,
that.
I see him now. I see him now. I'm opening up.
Can you hear me? His mic now.
Brother Centrell?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Would you give a brief introduction to the Female Solution audience and the AM360 audience? Very brief introduction, and share with us what you do. I see here in my notes you have a program that's called the Untouchables, and you are a high school youth. Would you share with us, please?
Yes, sir. I'm from Cheryl Bellinger. I'm 14 years old. I'm in high school, currently a freshman. I go to Kenwood Academy High School, play football. Yeah, that's really mostly about myself. I just really want more peace and everything. I love it. I love this movement. I love doing this because like it gives me more opportunities to like put my voice out there and put my feel about how I feel about all this stuff. So, yeah, that's really good.
Yes, good. What is the Untouchables? I see here in my notes that the Untouchables program.
I'm not aligned with the Untouchables.
Can you hear me, bro?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. The young brother was invited to the collaborative efforts of Chicago Peace Initiative and the Untouchables, brother Tony Scales and brother Eric Lewis and a couple of other brothers and sisters. They have a group called the Untouchables, and brother Tony Scales is part owner of the South Loop Hotel here in Chicago, Black Home. But those brothers are part of the Steppers industry, and they are doing a lot of giveaways. So all summer, they've given out gifts, refrigerator, food, clothing, and shelter to people, just giving in love through the industry of stepping and community giving. So Bunny Tony Scales is the Untouchable, the leadership, and brother Eric Lewis. So this young brother was invited, I think, by brother Dion, which is his uncle, I think. He's a young man that's on fire, who formerly used to be in the streets, and he brought this young brother to speak. But brother Dion is taking the young brothers that have so-called been called the shooter, the ostracized, and they all gotten together, about 15 of the young men, and they're talking about cleaning up what they've done wrong. So they come to the table, and we're going to back their play so they can go out. And so, but we want to showcase young men like that. It was so crucial the other night, and I can tell that the women felt it and the young men felt it. It was genuine that we gave an image of black men not shooting and looting, smashing and grabbing, but loving on each other and what we're going to do. So he was invited by one of his family members, Dion, I believe, and this young man is in college doing great work at Kenwood High School. It's just to show the talent and the gift. And as you say, we got to give them a platform. That's why the elders sit back and we back their play. And we're going to black their play and ask them what they need to save their lives. And I thank you, young man, for the conversation you gave to open up on the mic to tell us what we need. Thank you so much, and we love you.
Crazy to God. On that note, I want to return back to our brother Imam Yahya Shabazz, and may he share the activities that he is fostering in California, which is also experiencing a huge uptick in violence and lawlessness. Imam Yahya Shabazz, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Brother Imam, first I want to congratulate and really thank all of the brothers that you have on the program here for the most excellent work that they are doing. What we're doing here is going to the root cause of the problem, and I want to just give just a very brief report from the Journal of American Academy of Pediatrics. This report states how the dangerous lyrics in the music and the negative effect that they have on the minds of our young people, and how these negative lyrics in hip-hop and gangster rap, again, let me say, this is not a blanket condemnation of music, not even hip-hop, but we're addressing the dangerous lyrics in the music, and how this music is designed to bring about negative thinking and dangerous thinking on the part of our young people. All of the brothers who are doing all of this excellent work in the community, we have to go, and it's all good, but we have to get to the root cause so that the work that we are doing can continue to continue. This music is designed to make us feel. It's misogynistic, causing us to disrespect ourselves and our women and kill each other, and is the major cause of the violence that we see in our major cities today. So we here in California, we have started a movement to remove this music from the airwaves. We're going to be addressing our city police and mayors and so forth nationwide. We invite you all to join in this movement if you can see the validity of it. And we applaud the fact that we're doing things, we're producing our own, as the brother was saying, with the positive music that they're producing from themselves. It's a two-pronged approach. Number one, we do have to provide something. If we take away something, we have to provide something to replace it. So we do have to provide entertainment for our own people. But alongside that, we have to, it's imperative that we remove gangster lyrics, these gangster rap from the airwaves. You can provide a million jobs in the community, but if you still have these dangerous lyrics in the music, our young people are going to continue the destructive lifestyles. Last but not least, and I'll be finished, we have found that the radio stations are being financed by corporate powers. You know, these corporate powers, they don't care about the people in the African American community or any other community. They're looking at the money and the finance. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. We was talking to one brother who told us that he was on the front end at the beginning of this gangster rap phenomenon that has been put on us. And he was saying to us that the music, the entertainment industry, they say that they would not sponsor, they would not give money to any clean music unless it got unless it has the, you know, like the kind of language in it that degrades us, you know, that's using the B word, using the N word, using the H word, and that is overwhelmingly sexually explicit. These are the kind of lyrics that are put into our community on purpose so that it can create the designed effect that have us to shoot and kill each other, disrespect each other. So we are asking those of you who are on the call today to take a look at this this trend that's going on and how these lyrics are causing us to murder, kill, and shoot each other, you know, pimping it hard, but somebody got to do it next and all that kind of stuff. Baby's mama, baby's daddy, you know, all of these kind of the disrespecting terms that cause us to disrespect each other. So alongside with promoting and doing things for ourselves and promoting our own music, we have to also get rid. We have to completely wipe away these dangerous lyrics that are promoting violence and so forth across the airways on our radio station. And it has to be a national movement. It has to be a national movement in this area.
Yes. Thank you, Imam Yahya Shabazz. You know, you said something, that you have to have something to read. Whatever is removed has to be replaced. I don't know how successful we would be in, we should be contacting the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission. There should be a moral standard within that commission we should approach them and let them know that they are derelict in their functioning of abrasive language being used on the airwaves. We want to pause right now for station identification and some important public service announcements. All praise is due to Almighty God. You are listening to The Female Solution by way of the of American Muslim 360, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. We ask you at this time, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing.
With a Place of Peace pop-up from Susan Essentials, you are able to increase productivity, mental acuity, leaving you with higher energy and peace in just 20 minutes. We pop up at our office or yours.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On-air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Unmuted.
Hello?
And I believe we are back on our American Muslim 360 line. Kareem, can you hear me now? Maika, can you hear me now? Maika, can you hear me now?
The emancipation possible. Let anybody come here tonight and plead with you. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. There's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure.
Okay. I want to share this message with both platforms. With both platforms. I believe the Female Solution is back with us, and I want to share these statements from our late beloved leader, Dr. Martin Luther King. He begins by pleading with us. Please listen very carefully. Let me see. Let me activate it. This is the one that I want everyone to hear.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ah, but I want to get the language right tonight. I I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Okay, praise be to God. We are back, and I pray that we took note of what Dr. Martin Luther King mentioned. He said, I come here to plead with you that we should utilize our own self-asserted manhood, our self-asserted manhood, and reach down into the resources of our own soul and write our own Emancipation Proclamation, our own freedom document. Don't let nobody take your manhood away from you. Manhood is synonymous to responsibility. Responsibility and being responsible for that which we have been, that has been placed under our charge. And that is the African-American community. That is our responsibility. We should stop looking for government handouts. No one can do this for us but us. And we are grateful to have with us young men that are utilizing that self-assertive manhood, and they are accentuating the positive and addressing the needs of the community in which we are responsible for.
Praise be to Almighty God.
I want to
turn back to
our brother, Kente Kaiser. He's a spoken word artist. He shared with us some of his gift. And at this time, I would ask if he would to make another selection from what you have produced and share with us that beautiful art form, the spoken word, if you would, please.
Yes, sir, and I'll be very brief. I'm going to tie two into one. The first one is called The King in Me. The King in Me speaks to the King in you, brothers, as together we analyze and realize the true statement that life is worth fighting for. The question then must be answered, men. What are we fighting for? Are brothers fighting for a share of the market stock? Or are we fighting for, it's my turn to serve, least square position on the block? Are brothers fighting for some land of real estate? Or are we fighting because we seem to love to hate? Don't get caught up in somebody else's gift and forget you great. What are we fighting for, the present or the future? Nowadays, brothers don't want a box. They would rather shoot you and miss. Now we have to comfort baby boy mother because her baby was just added to the CPS student's murder list. Some black men quick to risk their life for the street. But when it comes to real issues like our children's educational system, we don't speak. Stand up, warrior. We were made by God to be strong, not weak. And if that man don't work, that man don't eat. So many brothers thinking backwards while life is moving ahead. Brothers walking around physically existing but mentally dead. I'm reminded by our brother Marcus Garvey, who challenged us by saying, up you mighty nation, accomplish what you will. How can some of the black men fight for our race when all he want to do is pop a pill? Keep it real, man. No more excuses. Either we making it happen or you in the way. Life has a balance, brother. There was a time for work and a time for play. And I'll stop right there and go right into Black Boys Rising, the system can't defeat. We on that Tupac rose from the concrete. We won't be sorry about it like Garvey. Staple husband mindset, we not on Maury. Examples of greatness, you can do it too. Go and ask Malcolm Little Shorty what it do. Life changed with an X. So little brothers can't be lawyers coming out them projects. You are not a reject. You a black star. God got your future. He gonna show you who you are. Yes, it's educated. So you must learn daily. You can go to college, ask Alexander Haley.
family at 15. Living your dream. You can be great even when it don't seem. Set big goals. Shoot for the stars. You can have your own school like Paul Dunbar. Just think like a king because the drive get harder. But you can make it happen like George W. Carver. We all make mistakes. Leave it in the past. Now we're hitting on purpose just like Arthur Ashe. Know the everyday count. Every day is new. Greatness all in your blood. Just ask Charles Drew. Make it do what it do. Eat up knowledge like it's lunch. And that Nobel Peace Prize go to Mr. Ralph Bunche, first person of color to receive that. I'm a black boy, can be president like Obama. Speak life with your words. Write life through the pen. Prolific type of writer like James Baldwin. Never say never. We thank Mega Evers. Don't be a drug dealer. Be another Doris Miller. You can have many talents like Louis Armstrong. Don't quit on life. Just keep pressing on. Just keep thinking big. Vision on sky. Black boys will live. Black youth must try. Black boys will live. Black youth must try. Even freedom got hot. Ask Dred Scott. You can win the prize, brothers, if you think not going to accomplish what you will. We honor Emmett Till and thank God for them pandas you renewed by the field. Don't forget Chairman Fred, who helped us go ahead. They said him too powerful. Go on, shoot him dead. More love should be spread. Injustice is a sign. Mr. Benjamin Danneker, I think it's about time for all black youth to love self, no matter how dark. And if they don't believe us, they can ask Kenneth Clark. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. Please, dude. Wait a minute. Look, I got a bell here that I ring when I hear stuff that's so positive, that's right on point. Praise be to Almighty God. Is there a way that we could acquire what you are producing? The point that I'm making is that we must show that we have an obligation to support the positive artists that are producing positive words, positive art form for us. We must support them. Take our support from the negative and give our support to the positive. Accentuate the positive. Thank you, my brother. Praise be to Almighty God for you and those like you that that give the positive spoken word. That was so wonderful. I'm grateful that you acknowledge all of our present and past wonderful, excellent examples in what you produce and you shared with us here. We thank Almighty God for you. And before we leave the air, we'll ask each of you for contact information. And we would like to support your work. That is a wonderful, wonderful accentuation of the positive. Praise be to Almighty God. Alhamdulillah. I want to now, see if Dr. Harden is with us. I don't see him. Okay. We'll return back to our youngest member that is here with us, Centrell Belanger. He's a youth that's a freshman in high school. My beloved brother, Centrell Belanger, would you like to add your positive statement in this conversation we're having this morning?
Yes, sir. As we were listening to the speech that MLK gave out, I picked up the fact that he was talking about if you look up the word black, it gives all these negative words, which made me think about, like, stereotypes. Stereotypes, like, in the media and all that, it just shows, like, it puts a bad image on people of color, people of my color. And I just think that that's wrong because the social media bias that happens against black people, it puts a bad image on them, and then just makes us seem like we're monsters. And I think that it's not really fair because as I was in class one day, and I was reading, and it was about a flood in New Orleans, I think. So there was a black man. It was a flood. So the black man, he had a bag full of stuff, and they said that he was looting. But the white people, they had a picture of white people, and they had stuff. And they said that they found the stuff that they had, which I feel like if you're gonna state facts about a situation, make it be proper facts and not be biased against one another. But another thing, as the brother was talking about opportunities and stuff, opportunities, it can get people's head out of the gutter. Opportunities to build people and support people could, like, give them more of a platform to put their positive thoughts and not the negative. All the negative thoughts sounding on the negative is just going to bring people down constantly and constantly and constantly. But when you want to go up, you gotta worry about the positive. You can never worry about the negative. Well, yeah, that's just how I feel about the whole situation. It's not really much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That is, I wholeheartedly agree. We have a valuable statement that we utilize in the association of Imam Wahid-Fadim Muhammad, may God grant him the highest station in the paradise. And that is, he asked that we don't buy into or utilize oppressive language, you know, language that oppresses the human being, that we should use language that is positive and that is liberating. So what you are mentioning now, and all of us are somewhat mentioning, that we have to re-identify. I believe there needs to be a re-identification of who and what we are. You know, first off, we are human. We are human. That has been the big minus used against us from the outset of this institution of slavery, that they are not truly human. They don't possess a soul like us. They are animals in human form, you know? And there was never a question about whether we were so-called black. There was never a question of that. Matter of fact, the enemy is the one that coined that identification for us, and that the negative connotations that come with that word black, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, look in your dictionary and you will see that they have identified the color black as negative, something degrading. So we are working on discontinuing to identify ourselves along the lines that the enemy identified us. The question was, are they human? Not whether they are black, but are they human? So we want to try to change the identifier, change the language, you know, change the language to a more positive identifier, a more positive in identification is direction. And like someone, a Caucasian, asked Malcolm, what do you want? Malcolm answered, ask yourself what it is you want. I want all of that. See? So whatever is beneficial for the human being, that is what we are struggling for. Our human rights, not our black rights, our human rights, so that we are and begin to operate and conduct ourselves as full qualified human beings, the right of self-determination, the right of self-determination, that is a human right. So we are grateful for the language that, praise be to Almighty God, that our brother Shit was sharing with us in the spoken word that is so enriching, that is so positive. And your statements, my brother, you took note of what our beloved Dr. Martin Luther King said in the identification of so-called black. I want to now, I see our brother Yahya Shabazz is back with us. Would you please add to this conversation we're having, Imam Yahya Shabazz?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. Thank you so much. I want to give another quote from the study of Peter Attrick. Peter Attrick is the official journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, you know, and we know pediatrics is the study of childhood development. And in this study, it says this, as with popular music, the perception and the effects of music, video messages are important because research has reported that exposure to violent sexual messages, sexual stereotypes, and use of substance as abuse in music videos might produce significant changes in behaviors and attitudes of young viewers. Pediatricians and parents should be aware of this information. Furthermore, with the evidence portrayed in these studies, it is essential for pediatricians and parents to take a stand regarding music lyrics. This is so, so very important, Brother Ma'am. Again, as I was saying a little bit earlier, we have all of us on this program and even beyond, we are doing great work in our communities, and we are producing. And I'm so glad to see that we are producing. We're not just talking about taking away something, but we are producing something to replace that. Analogy that I always like to use is, you know, and Muslims can relate to this. Back in the Nation of Islam days when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about the sweet potato pie. And he took the sweet potato pie away, but he replaced it with the bean pie. So he didn't just take something away because he was saying it was bad on our digestion. He also replaced it with something better. So when we're talking about gangster rap and the dangerous lyrics in the music, our brother on him with the spoken word and other brothers who are doing their own thing, they are replacing something negative with something positive. But we have to unite in a nationwide movement, I believe, to address the, and as you said, Imam Hamid, the FCC, contacting the FCC. We have to begin to address the fact that this gangster rap and the negative lyrics in the music, the dangerous lyrics in the music, it is no accident. It's by design. It's by design. So no matter how much good we do in the community, if we do not address this issue about taking these lyrics out of the community, we will still be suffering from this same exact problem that we have now. So one of the things that like-minded people are doing, as I said earlier, we are putting together a brochure that we want to present to our local elected officials, the chief of police, the mayors, the supervisors, the city council people, and because all the cities around this country are inundated with the same issue of rise in crime and violence. And so we're going to present to them our finding that the primary cause in the spike in violence that we're suffering from, this is in the Chicago area, in the New York area, in the Birmingham and Montgomery, Alabama area, in the Oakland, California, Los Angeles, California area, all across the country, Connecticut, they all have one thing in common, and that is that the dangerous lyrics in the music is the primary cause of us shooting and killing each other like it's a thing to do, and how we are disrespecting our women, and if we don't begin to do something, and if we don't begin to address this issue from its root cause, we will continue to suffer in the way that we are doing now. So we're going to take our findings. These are scientific studies that we've done. As I said, this report that I just read to you is from it's the official journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And I would like for my brothers and sisters on this broadcast also to go to the internet and Google. Just put it in the search engine, the impact of dangerous lyrics or musical lyrics on the minds of young black youth.
Yes,
the impact of gangster rap on the minds of our black youth. And I guarantee you, you will come up with information that you probably knew about, but you had not put it in the right perspective yet, and it will let you know that these dangerous lyrics in the music is one of the primary causes of the violence that we are experiencing in our inner city, in our urban areas. And I encourage you all to look at this.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Anyone else? Your mics are open. Anyone else have some
commentary? This is Brother Cullen.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you guys hear me? Yes, sir. I want to thank all the brothers in the work, and Brother Kente is one of my products of networking and mentoring. The brother's been doing great work and continuing this work despite the enticement of the money to go in the opposite direction of lyrics. And we got to compete with the corporate by dealing with the gospel young brothers and, as you say, hip-hop and gangster rap. So I want to say kudos to Brother Kente. What we got to do, we also have, I'm going to try to give some solutions. Hip-Hop Detox in Chicago, Brother Enoch Muhammad, is a social and emotional program is designed to take the poison out of hip-hop. Hip-hop is spoken word, last poet. Gangster rap is the B and the H word. We've been hijacked through the music, validated by Colin Powell's son, may he rest in peace, Colin Powell, his son, who was at FCC at the time, allowed the airwaves to come upon us at a higher level to destroy black people in the music industry while we are asleep at the wheel. And from that hip-hop detox, we're taking the poison out of hip-hop, the gangster rap, and we're getting back to the spoken word and that also. So look up Hip-Hop Detox, Brother Enoch Muhammad. He's also responsible for the letter that we're saying to these young men of forgiveness of what we did, like the elder did with today, and I received that, apologizing for partying and chasing women and not being there, at the same time being systematically dealt with a hidden hand. And so, but we also, Brother Kobani out of, I'll mess up his name, Kawambina out of Gary, he's also been attacking the airways hard. So he has a petition I'm going to give to you guys, the petition name of it for us. So it's called change.org/ clear the airways of dangerous lyrics. change.org/ clear the airways of dangerous lyrics. He's also been studying
the FCC and putting pressure on them. We got to come together with my brother that was on the line. I hope we can connect. And so he also has put a petition and has some resolutions out there to address the issue of us being violated and disrespected in that space. Clearly, the airways is the movement. And so what we have to do is redirect our $1.3 trillion power and lift up the young people that's talking positive. But we're going to have to get together with our sisters and brothers and shut these systems down and shut these radio stations down, because what brings the pressure we bring in men is the heat of it. But the money part is the $1.3 trillion buying power that black women have. If they stop going to work and don't go to work and don't buy nothing, everything stops. So the minute they go at the airways on FCC, it's over, because the advertising and most of the things are geared toward black women, and that is the movement of the day, the economics of the black woman. So once the black man get in a rightful place with our women and we attack these stations with our young people, you'll see the change. But I want to thank you, everybody, for being on here today, and I'm just honored. But we got work to do, and Chicago is a chosen city. Again, Chirac to Jerusalem. We have a real serious quest, but we're going to win this battle, because you can't argue with black children. And we talked about identity. Let me slow down. In Chicago, since 1991, there's been a black history bill on the table. And to this day, it's not being enforced. To teach black history in the state of Illinois since 1991, to teach black girls to be queens, to teach young brothers to be queens, it's a sin before God to have every national leader, every national organization, 37,000 black churches, Marcus Garvey, all the movements here in Cobra, and we don't hold steadfast. We have the most black elected officials elected in the state of Illinois than any other state, and feel our children are in this situation. So we got to come and galvanize and put pressure. But if we don't give them a culture, then they are pulling their pants down, not because they're disrespectful, because we've been disrespectful. And I believe they're telling us to kiss their behind, because we ain't done what we're supposed to. That's why they need the apology.
In that light, on that note, I want to share with us where the fall began. I'm old enough to remember the 1960s. There was a social movement across this country concerning justice. There was a demand coming from the American public, white and black, for change. I can remember we in the African American community, there was music produced by Curtis Mayfield that was very uplifting. Keep on pushing. There's a train a coming. There was a lot of positive music being injected, and it was music of liberation and forward movement. But then Hollywood produced a movie, and it is entitled Superfly. Now, the same brothers that were wearing the Black Panther cams, the black jackets, announcing that we have a right to protect ourselves from renegade police, they established the school breakfast program. They offered free medical assistance to the African American community. But Hollywood made images are very important. Words and images. Words make people. Words form us internally. And a picture is worth a thousand words. And they produced a movie called Superfly.
it somewhat, in their own way, it glorified the drug pusher. And he was portrayed as one that had his hair straightened and it flowed down to his shoulders. He was portrayed as one that wore long fur coats, and he wore shoes that were similar to high heels, and he carried a pouch on his shoulder, a shoulder bag. And in a very short space of time, the same brothers that were adamant about liberation and freedom in time, the African-American male grew his hair long like a woman, and it flowed down to his shoulders. The African-American male put on high heel shoes like a woman. The African-American male put on long fur coat like a woman. So the images that we see, the words that we hear, are very effective in taking us off course. So I'm in agreement with everyone. We must accentuate the positive in our verbiage and the images that are placed before us and our children. We are in bad shape, dear people, but there is, praise be to Almighty God, you are hearing that there is a pushback on the positive. A pushback on that a negative image of us as men. And we are grateful to all of you men, especially you young men, that have picked up, that have once again picked up that banner, continuing to move forward so that we can live as a viable, productive human community. Praise be to Almighty God. We applaud your efforts. Praise be to God. And it's so wonderful to have this conversation. And I'm aware that we are being heard across this country, even in foreign lands. AM 360, it reaches Brazil. It reaches Canada. Matter of fact, we have been informed that we have even been heard as far away as China. So the words that you are saying are far-reaching. Praise be to Almighty God. And the efforts are far-reaching. Praise be to Almighty God. I want to once again share the statements of our beloved Dr. Martin Luther King. Let them seek into your soul and into your consciousness and actuate and shape our behavior. Once again, the words of our beloved Dr. Martin Luther King.
Come here tonight and plead with you. Right. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of
our heritage, as somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Okay. Praise to God. We are back. May those words seek into our consciousness that we, that no one can do this for us. We must look down into our self-asserted manhood, and write our own document of emancipation, of liberation. And I'm grateful that our brother, Reason Fellows, the founder of the National Black Agenda, you know, he mentioned something that is very important that we must take note of in this conversation, and that is our financial situation. Imam Wafidin Muhammad, may the prayers and the peace be upon him, he said to us, say, look, I'm serious. You are under financial occupation. You know, we have heard of military occupation, where the military comes in and occupies the country or the that you live in. Well, we are under financial occupation. Others are occupying the entrepreneurial space, the financial space in our community. We must address that. I'm not saying running anybody out of business. I'm not saying going and forcing people from out of our areas that are supplying vital necessary sustenance. I'm not saying that, no. That we have the right to establish our own businesses, then supply the needs of our own community and encourage each other to support the businessmen that look like us. Support them and stop giving our money to people that are not us, that do not give back and add any value to the community for which they are gleaning financial benefit. We want the young man to put down his dope bag. And as Imam Yahya has stated, there has to be something to replace that. And I believe, given the moral content, we establish a sense of morality once more that I'm hearing from everyone assembled here, that the decision will be made to not engage in illegal activity, especially in drug sales, that destroys the family. It destroys the very nucleus of community life. We must strengthen ourselves financially. We must stop being satisfied is just being consumers. We want to enter into the investment class, whereby we invest in ourselves and each other to strengthen our community financially. Is there anyone that would like to make statements on that subject matter? Your mic is open.
Well, this is brother. May I just have one last word?
Go ahead, brother.
As black men, African American men, as human, we want to begin to call on each other that when we see our men disrespecting our women, we have to call their attention to it. Our community is judged by the treatment of its women. We have to start uplifting our women. We got to discontinue using derogatory language toward our women. And last but not least, we have to start, as men, we have to start believing in marriage again. Our community won't grow unless we start family. The strength of the community is family. And we have to
marriage. Ma'am, we got about four minutes of broadcast time left. If each of you would give some contact information, we would greatly appreciate it. But please be as brief as possible. I'm under the pressure of the clock. 510-686. Please share with us your contact information. Okay, I think that's a caller that had called in. Excuse me, a caller, for not being able to bring you into the conversation, but your mic is open. Area code 737-787, please share with us your contact information, if you would, please. That is Centrell Belanga, the high school youth. Okay, we'll move forward. Let me see. 773-787. Please share with us your contact information. Oh, that is Centrell. Okay. Yes, sir. If you would, please.
773-787-8417. My direct line and my email is KIGER@gmail.com. And I would love to add value to any youth opportunity around the country.
Thank you, my brother. Okay. Brother Dion Harden, the founder of You Break It, You Fix It. I don't see him here, but anyway. I'll move forward. Brother Reuben Fellows, the founder of the National Black Agendas, share with us your contact information, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. 773-969-9644, 969-9644, and 1kmanmarch.com. May 7th, black men are being in Chicago marching for women and respecting our women, and we're going to change the language of Martin Luther King Poor March on what the Poor People's Campaign to Streets Gotta Eat Voters Registration Campaign. We're going to go march on to get a check that came back, insufficient funds, based on the Streets Got to Eat. The young people are going to let the next generation
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Reuben. Imam Yahya Shabazz, have I asked you to, if you will share your contact information with us, please? We got about 1 minute.
Yes, yes, sir. My phone number is 925-282-9595. My brother with the Black Agenda, please write this down. 925-282-9595. My email address is Yahya, as the police say.
I got 90 seconds in there.
Yellow Apple Shabazz. Okay. Voting at gmail.com.
What was the first three for the zip code? Zip code.
925.
And 28?
925-282-9595.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. Thank you all for volunteering your precious time this morning. And we ask those of you on American Muslim 360 to dial back in to the broadcast for the broadcast of Halal Industries. It is hosted by our beloved Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, and we ask that you stay tuned for Optimal Health. It is hosted by our beloved brother Abdul Shaheed. This program is centered around Optimal Health. Praise be to Almighty God. We thank you all, and we leave you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Okay, here we are. And let me see if I can make sure we're heard. Oh, got it. Turn up the volume here. All right, wait a minute. All right, there we go. Can we hear me now? All right, and you've got a hand up. Let me see. Let me open the mic for 773-263. All right, wonderful. 773-263, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I believe we got Sister Rashida, and we've got Zelda on the line. And we are certainly happy to have heard, yes, great, okay. And Deborah is listening in with us on our Facebook page. And we've got Zelda with us, and I think Aika might have gotten disconnected, but I'll send her the link if she wants. I don't know if she'd be able to join us on Facebook Live, but I thought today's discussion was quite inspiring. So, Rashida, what did you think?
I thought it was excellent, and my opinion, it was great.
I think it's the kind of thing we've been hoping for all this time. We're hoping to see an awakening, that hoping to hear men realize that they have been part of a deliberate scheme to steer them towards violence with the music, and the fact that so many of them unconsciously are perpetuating the situation by spewing out lyrics that are degrading us as females. And Deborah Smith says she's hopeful. And I believe that all it took really was for people of like mind to connect, and those who are conscious to get with each other and strengthen each other, so that we could see that the conscious really are more powerful than the unconscious when it comes to changing the direction of our society. But I want to ask you all this question. Now, I don't have sons, and I know there are many women out there that do have sons. And I think that there is something that we can do as women when we have male children and perhaps the relationship with the father may not be as harmonious as we would like. We may not be together as a couple. But I think there's something that we can do, even if the father has issues, even if he's made some mistakes in life, even if he's got some habits that are undesirable. We chose him, so we must have seen some good in him at the time. I think there are some things that we can do to prevent our sons from having such negative self-esteem, because maybe we have presented their father as not a desirable image of a man. We tend to, when we break up, we tend to get angry, and we want everybody to feel like this man is no good, and that's why I'm not with him. And we even tend, some of us in our anger, to relate those thoughts to the sons of the man whom we've broken up with. And how can the son feel good about himself if we're running down his father? This is a trend that I see that I would hope we, as conscious women, would help others not to do. But Zelda, what are your thoughts on that? And Rashida, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that we need to be motivated to do better. And once we understand what we've been doing incorrect, then we can correct it. But most of us haven't been trained or do not understand that, or we don't know the right thing to do. So with programs like you're having and discussions, I think that's a good approach to starting, to see it different than the systematic way of thinking that brought us to that level.
Well, you know, that's a very significant thing you just said, that we don't know what to do. I think that's a real key to the reason why we do the wrong thing, because we don't know. And we don't know that we're damaging our children by wanting them to share our anger when our relationship breaks up. We don't know that one of the things that we keep doing, we tend to want to bash the men because we're hurt. And that's what is a lot of the difficulty that we're creating. We're hurt, and we want people to side with us. We want the children to side with us. We want, we want to feel like we're right. You know, we're the one that's right in this conflict. That's what we want to feel, and so we'll badmouth the man to the children, to our friends, to his friends, because we're hurt. And we're not thinking about whatever good that he could be doing for his children. We've damaged him in their eyes because we want them to take our side and be against him as well. We want them to feel like they've been abandoned and divorced and cheated on and whatever else we're angry at. We want them to feel our pain. And that's what we end up doing, is creating pain. And so we have to learn how to not do that. And that's really the bottom line, us not doing that when we are, after we have perhaps not been, maybe we're no longer in a personal relationship with the man, we have to not beat him down. And so if we can manage to change that behavior, then even for those of us who have children with someone that we are no longer in a romantic relationship with, we can still peacefully coexist. We can still co-parent. And we can still say positive things about each other. So, Rashida, do you think that's something that women can learn how to do? Can we learn how to co-parent, even though we might be not involved with the father of our children? Can we learn how to peacefully co-parent so that our children can get the positive impact from the men that are their fathers? One of the things that I discovered in the process of doing research in the book that became the book, The Female Solution, I discovered all these statistics that showed how the crime and violence was directly correlated to the absence of fathers in the home. It's something like, the statistics are something like 87% of the men serving time in prison and juvenile detention centers come from fatherless homes. And we're joined on our Facebook Live page with Zelda Speaks. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes.
So I believe that that's true about the fatherless home, because I have a son, and when my husband and I were divorced, my son, he just literally started mingling with what I call the undesirables, but he tells me as an adult that he learned a lot from those people, those men that he took on with. They were older men, and I now understand why he thought he learned a lot. It was because he never wanted to be sheltered or smothered have a lot of nurturing from me. So when he became, a teenager, he took up with older men. But the older men were not mentors within a positive way to me. because they were upstreet and gained. And those are the people he thinks he learned from because they were different than me and the nurturing that I was trying to give because coming from a motherly female aspect when he wanted the masculine and the masculinity he found were with the Jeff Fords and people like that. So it destroyed, and then he started growing into that demeanor, and he was angry and all of that, and he wound up going to jail not because of robbing or stealing the drugs. He went to jail because of his short temper. You know, somebody shot him at the bus stop. And I had been seeking out for my son for a long time in the community because he went at a Muslim school closed. He went to public school, and it was close to my mother, so he would go to my mother while I worked. And they wouldn't tell me, and I was going crazy. Where's my son? Where's my son? My son was in jail because he sought out the man who shot him at the bus stop and got a gun from the neighbor and shot the man, but he didn't kill him, fortunately. So that's what we need mentors for, because everybody can't be married, and everybody is not married. And we need to have a strong leadership trying to develop a pavement or pave a way for our youth that doesn't have fathers so we can keep up all of those institutions. Because in my opinion, once they go into that system, then it becomes part of their way. It becomes like a career for them. So inshallah, we can have a team, you know, build teams of men and women that can sort of heal our young men who came from fatherless families. Because We want the designers of that fatherless program, and there's a lot of Europeans that don't have husbands, and their children are not in the system.
Okay,
yeah. Rashida, Rashida
is this part of the women talk afterwards?
Yeah, so we have on our live line, we have Maika and we have Rashida. On our live line and joining us on our Facebook,
number.
We have Zelda and we have Deborah. So we're getting a chance to kind of do this after show, looking at what we heard and even ways that we can, as women, support the positive things that the men are trying to do. And Maika, of course, Rashida is giving us
Zelda
her.
And
I need somebody to mute their thing. Yeah. But what Rashida was sharing, Maika, is her own story with her son and what happens, you know, the anger that happens sometimes when sons don't have fathers there and how they gravitate toward men who are doing negative things, but in the mind of the son, this is a strong man. This is a figure to emulate. He's somebody who represents manhood, and that happens a lot when we don't have the positive male images in their lives and we don't have the good relationship with their fathers. So, well, Maika, you've raised a son, so you have, you know, experience in how you deal with perhaps a son who's growing into manhood, who may be angry, who may even, you know, have issues with his father. How does a woman keep her son from going astray or following the wrong type of man? What are your thoughts
on
that?
But, you know, one of the things that I heard her say, everybody's not married. There's a thing called community. You develop community. And within a community, there can be strong men if women attract that. There has to be an attractive force to bring strong, principled men into the community to support the raising and the protection and the guidance of the children. It doesn't always have to be marriage. I was telling some brothers recently, you know, a sister and a brother, that if you come upon a woman who has sons and he needs fathers, I mean, would you welcome them into your relationship in some form or another? And the sister immediately went to, well, I want my own man. I don't want my man to be the be with no other woman. I said, well, it's not like that. My mind automatically jumped to something that she was not neutral about. You know, that she had preconceived scripts that somebody had given her about polygamy or what have you. I said, it doesn't have to be like that. Every man, just because a woman is around a man doesn't mean he has to sex her. He could be, that could be just a sister, a friend, somebody who's working in one of the institutions that they're building. Sex is for marriage. But there are other relationships between men and women also that we don't focus on developing. And as a result, we lack because we were sexualized in slavery. So everything is looked at from the perspective of sex, that sex has to be a part of it. We have to have understandings and agreements about when that is and when that isn't.
And then we have
to be able to protect the children. That's what's important. We have to be very, there's so many different perversions and people who are perverted out here that they have to be vetted, for real. That you have to vet people in relationships, having them around children.
That's true.
And it could be anybody. It could be a preacher. It could be a teacher. Just because you have a PhD or a degree or a license doesn't mean that you don't have these kind of perversions. So we have to learn how to psychically understand the nature of people and prevent these kind of things from happening because they're real. That's one of the biggest problems in bringing children together. Is somebody going to sex them? That is, impose on them their script for sexuality instead of letting the child develop that naturally on its own. So we have these problems, and we have to come up with solutions. And the only way that I found to come up with real lasting solutions with people is when we come together and heal. If we continue to hold on to the scripts of the past, I mean, imagine a solid block of ice, and you hate this person, that's in the ice. You got a grudge against that person. You can't talk to this person. This happened to you and that happened to you, so you're still remembering those things. So all that energy that it takes to hold that into place, it's energy that's needed in the now because all that stuff's in the past.
Right.
Needed in the now to be creative to solve the problems of the now. But we won't let that energy from the past freeze over. We won't clear it. We won't go to therapy to clear it up. So all we got is complaints and stories about what happened to me and how it happened and all that. But no real solutions because we have to have energy to come up with solutions.
Right.
So we got to throw the past. And we got to become present. That's healing. And that most of that past is encountered in your emotional life. And you have to clear your emotional being. That can't be emphasized enough. The script that was given to us is healing is in relationship to physical healing and mental healing. Both of those are after effects of emotional illness. You have to start with the emotions. And Rashida, I've talked to you over and over again about healing your emotions and even giving you demonstrations, you, Naima, and other people, on how that's possible. Why all of y'all ain't learned how to be therapists in emotional healing, I don't know. Because that's the greatest need out here. People who know how to heal. Maika can't heal everybody. Naima, you talk about past life regression. I don't know why you ain't become a past life hypnotherapist and study and learn.
That's in the works.
You know?
Well, thank you for the encouragement.
Ma'am,
I would
need
to answer that.
Up these healing modalities that we can come together and as a community of healers, people
true.
Who help each other, we can help each other. I live in an insane asylum right now. I can't even begin to tell you the insanity that exists in people in Pembroke based on having been raised as poverty-stricken people.
Wow.
It's all poverty for them. It's all people been giving to them over and over again, but they don't know how to give back. That's why the community is what they're so used to receiving, because they're so poor.
They see themselves.
We got a problem.
Yeah, and that is what happens when you once you define yourself as poor and helpless. That's the situation you create, even when you have abundance, even when you have wealth like land. If you see yourself as poor, you won't know what to do with all your things. If you see yourself as poor, you can be a hoarder, and you got all kinds of stuff. You can be selling on eBay and making money, but you see yourself as poor. And
that's
so,
the mentality, right. And that's what you create, absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So we have to heal ourselves and help heal each other so that we can take advantage of this new energy that's coming onto the planet. It has nowhere to settle with us because we still hold on to all that crazy stuff from the past that happened.
Still angry,
we have to make room for the new, for the new world we're in now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, well, Zelda, let me ask you, because you are doing some great work with young people all around the world with these teen talent competitions, bringing us a whole different energy of young people that just, they don't seem to have any mental or emotional restrictions on what they can be. So what do you think it takes to remove some of that, as Maika is saying, that old energy of helplessness, of defectiveness, of self-hate? What does it take to bring the creativity out of our young people and to give them a vision of what they can create and become so that they can let all that old energy go? What do you think?
I'm in 100% agreement with Maika on these modalities that are available to help us in the process of healing. And I'm none of those, in which I'm glad to hear that you are and Maika is.
We're working on it.
One of the things that this global virtual teen talent contest, which airs, by the way, this Saturday at 12 noon until 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, is that this group of youth from all over the world, they don't have the hang-ups that we have. I'm noticing they are full-fledged, full force. This is my talent. I recognize it. And I am moving forward, and the ones, you know, they're kids, and they're youth, and they still have their little idiosyncrasies, but they are evolving in such a way, it makes me think that, well, I know that they already have everything that they need inside them, and many of them, like the young man from, I can't remember what he was in, the one who sounds like John Legend and
John Dickens. Ooh, yeah.
He was talking mindfulness practices to me, and I don't know if he was aware of it. Yeah, he was aware of it because he mentioned it. And they have, what are they, 13 to 19, they have such a wealth of knowledge that they are expressing at these young ages, and it just baffles me. I was like, wow, you know that at 13? I didn't know that until I was 30. And Deborah's shaking her head, this new group of children from all around the world.
They grow fast because of the information age. They have access to information from everywhere, so they mature fast.
Yes, and they are using it to their advantage. So even though it may look doomy and gloomy right about now, this new generation is on they're on a whole nother level.
They are.
I don't see us flatlining at all. We're growing. We're just not seeing it in record numbers like we want to see it. But it's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I promise you. It's happening.
I can see it.
We have to stop putting our weight on them.
Ooh.
That's what happens. We put our weight. Our traditions.
Yes.
Our ideas. We put them on the children. And that's what they want to satisfy us. So then they say, oh, well, maybe that's what I should do. No. You see, they know what we know, plus they're still learning.
Yes.
And we should be still learning.
Yeah, we should still be learning.
We get so bogged down with should I not, do I not. And we have to be free spirits. What happened to when we were free spirits? Do you all remember that?
Yeah, we were.
That's what we have to remember and continue. And we have to let them grow the way they want to grow. pants now that they have the decorative underwear we think is underwear, but they're shorts, and they still have their own underwear, but the pants are so, they're making the pants so short from the hip huggers.
The low riders, what you see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, so these are hip huggers that they're wearing, but they have their shorts on, and then they still have their drawers on, most of them. When I see the cracks, I'm like, pull them up. But that's their way of existence. Just like we had our way, and our parents did what they did and told us pull those skirts
same
down.
Same thing.
We have to let these children.
Yeah, tradition is what is it? Peer pressure from
dead
people.
From dead people.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I had four boys, and we had, my husband was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We had a village.
That's
and
amazing.
I still brought in the village, you know, the men who could be role models.
Yeah.
Still watch, and I wanted my children and their friends in the house near me. That way, I knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, they say, well, how can you deal with all that noise and all that in and out? I know where they are.
That's right.
I know the characters. I learned the characters of their associates.
Mm.
They don't have friends. I told them all the time, you don't have friends. They're not your friends. They're your associates. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, friend is an earned title.
I'm your only friend.
Right.
I'm your only friend. But yes, we still
hold you, nourish you, mentor you. Yeah, I'm your friend. Believe that.
And we had challenges in our relationship, my husband and I. We went through that.
It doesn't.
But exactly. You talk to anybody who's been together any point of year. You know, those people who you celebrate been together 50 to 100 years,
65 years.
They've been through some things, you know.
They've been through some things.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all go through some things, but we don't let it hold us down. We don't hold on to it. We evolve even in ourselves. If your partner's not ready to come with you, you keep them there. It's never a 50-50. It's never 50-50. If it's 50-50, you better look over and see, okay, where is this next talent going to come from, and be ready for it.
You know it's coming.
Because you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you deal with it, and you better yourself. You respect yourself and respect others. And that's one of the things what the gentlemen were talking about, how they're trying to corral these young folks and understanding even the music, what you're saying, the language you're speaking, some of these words that the people say to each other, and just they think it's okay, but it's not. You know, it may be okay for you all. It doesn't sound good for me, and do not come to me with it.
Yes.
Will not call me out of my name. Here's my name.
No.
Don't pronounce it incorrectly if I care for you.
Right.
If I think we're going to have a relationship, I'm going to let you know. But all those other side names and whatnot,
Yeah.
No. Those are dogs and other animals.
So that's the thing.
That's not you.
Well, you know, that's one thing that, you know, when they talk about using the B word to describe us, and, you know, H and every other letter.
And then it's okay.
But how does a man get that idea unless it's given to him either by older men or other women?
By women. Because I've had that challenge with older women coming on to my children, my son, and I would... Yeah, I have to corral that. Oh, yes.
Yeah, we don't know. You don't call that girl that. No. Somebody has to correct.
Them anything. You know, they give them everything. I'm more on the side of my daughter-in-laws and whatnot. How do you put up with that stuff? Don't put up with that. Don't, you know, demand better for you. Demand better for your children.
Yeah.
You don't have to put up with that shenanigans.
And we have to realize that we are, and I think that's a problem with a lot of women. We don't realize that we're really in control.
Yes. And let them think that they're in control.
Because they do things to impress us. So if we set our standards of what is acceptable.
Yeah, you know. Girl, yeah, baby, you got to go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most men.
They got it going on. They got it going on. And we need to be like them.
Right.
We've got to get to the point where we, talking about myself, close this and open these.
Got to listen.
Because we don't realize that the words that we put out, they're magnets.
Yes.
Like, talk about the people in Timbrook who have that mentality, that poverty mentality. They have it because they have not experienced anything else. So you will keep that mentality until you do. All your antennas,
yeah,
they're getting, you're receiving negativity all day, all night, even in your sleep, because that's the thought that you're putting out. And that's
they're afraid.
Mind is a magnet, and you have not been trained how to control that magnet. That's
right.
What mindfulness is all about.
Right. Or put something else in the mind, because if you never go anywhere.
Tell Willie Wilson we need a mayor out here who got ideas to do advance community development and city life.
So
that's
you,
what we need.
So you want to run for mayor? So how long does he have to be a resident of Pembroke before he can run for mayor?
I don't know, but I'll certainly find out. This is the kind of place you can build from nothing.
I'll send him a text now. Let him know.
That's right.
That's what we
I sure will, because they would appreciate him, and he would bring resources to that community.
He would be, but their minds have
to change the mind, though. Because
you would give, but if they
we
still have that mentality, their mind,
it won't help. It's the emotions, not the mind.
That's a false script.
Well, the emotions, if you feel bad about yourself, that's the emotion that you're carrying, that there's something of lesser value in you. That's what you're feeling about yourself. So if you still feel that.
Female Solution Tour, mindfulness tour.
Yeah, we need to go down to Pembroke and yes, there we go. So we need to, when we bring our farming program down, and maybe we need to do it, you know, once a week, once a month, whatever it is, we need to go and physically interact, grow food, talk to the people, have a whole session of empowerment. You have this land.
What you did in Chicago, Naima, go and identify the plant.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
That would be powerful here because there's so many varieties, such a variety.
Yes.
Well, we're due for a trip anyway, Mai, because we're way overdue, so.
So
bring
the mayor with it. And that's the trip to take. Yeah.
Mayor Willie Wilson. Calling Mayor Willie Wilson. We're from Illinois. You need it, family.
We're getting ready to put out a t-shirt. Pembroke matters. Why? Because we are food growers.
These
people are experts in growing food without chemicals.
Mm.
That's what we got down here. And they need to pass that on to another generation.
Yes. So that our young people know that that is the key to wealth, is the land, the food, everything
and
starts with
that. Correctly.
Yes.
Because all this stuff they're telling you about on TV.
Farmers are going out of business now, these big commercial farmers, because fertilizer is so expensive, the chemicals and stuff that they've been putting on the land. See, the land is just like a human being. You start giving him a teaspoon of heroin. I don't know what anything about it. The next day you have to give a teaspoon and a half. The next day, 2 teaspoons.
Yeah.
You know, it gets more and more.
More and more.
Every time you give it to him. And that's where the land is with these chemicals. Mm. So they can't afford to keep farming and with the chemicals.
Farming.
It's a real food crisis now because they're not being successful. And all of the major food industries around big cities have been destroyed.
Wow.
And remember the immigrants? They were the people down in the South who came in illegally most times, but they got to be a part of a food growing system that assured that you had food on your table. They gone.
Mm.
They've been taken back home, or
they all the
have gone underground. So now, what are you going to eat?
What you going to eat?
It's a real situation, and it's an industry that is the foundation of all industries. Everything comes out of our relationship with the land. Our food, our clothing, our shelter, our transportation,
everything.
Our communication, and our energy.
Everything.
So we have a perfect foundation for building.
right.
It's real. We can't ignore that. We can't keep talking about the past and what happened to us. And we have to have that energy in the now. We got to think, what can we do now? We got land. What can we do with it?
Hmm. So spring should be coming around April, I would think.
Spring is here.
Spring is here. Yes, spring is here.
You're talking about planting season, right?
Planting season. So it's upon us now. I don't think we're going to have another snow. It's Chicago. We may have one more.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
You never know in Chicago. But see, that's why we got to get into year-round agriculture where we have caterpillar tunnels and things.
Hot
like
houses
that.
And things.
Year-round. We got to be able to feed ourselves. And it's just serious that we need minds, intelligent people to come together so that we can make this happen for generations to come. That's what caring, loving adults and parents do. And pastors and people who really love, they give to what the need is. The real need right now is food. Believe me, you might have it on your table now. But based on how things are going, you ain't got no guarantees for the future.
Sure that don't. That's true. Well, you know, I'm thinking... And we'll probably do this off air because we might have to take a little bit of discussion. But we'll figure out maybe the first or second week in April, we'll go down, take that trip down to Pembroke and just start the process because that's really what
we're
going to
do. I'm going to have some plots for y'all to plant in, too. I'm going to have some land prepared so you can plant some seeds. I'm encouraging people to plant what's called the Three Sisters Garden. Have you heard of that?
The Three Sisters Garden. Haven't heard of that.
We have now.
It's Native American. What'd you say, Zelda?
We have now.
Okay. It's a Native American tradition where you plant, there are three plants, and you can put others in there, too. But you have beans, corns, and watermelons or squash.
Mm.
So you make a mound, and you put the beans down, and they become the vines that grow up the corn or amaranth or any grain that you want to put out there, right? And then it puts nitrogen, the beans put nitrogen in the ground to help the other plants grow.
Ooh.
And then you have your watermelon or your cantaloupes or any vine vegetable-like or fruit like that. And they cover the ground so no weeds grow. So once you plant it, it grows. And then you come back at the harvest. You don't have to cultivate because the ground is covered so there's no weeds. And there's plenty of... covered also. So as a result, you have a big harvest. We'll have some sites for you to put your three seeds in or more. Decide what you want to grow. But I'll have some land prepared for you.
All right. I look forward to that. I'll have my GoPro on my head so I can...
Well, you know, Maika, I don't know what your schedule's like, but is it possible maybe the second Wednesday of every month, you can come on the show with me and co-host and talk about farming, talk about some ways people can be preparing whatever plot of land they might be living on and some of the projects that we're doing out in Pembroke. So I think that would be good.
Give them some ideas, too. That's a wonderful invitation, and I accept.
Well, all righty.
I accept.
Yeah.
Got to go there. Women have always been in control of the food production of their people. We were given the wrong scripts that said we were slaves and we had to, then they forced people into the field. We got to get that slave mentality out of people so they'll understand their relationship to the land, their relationship to being a part of the food growing. And because you don't use chemicals, that's why you can invite the children to the land. That's why the children were chased away, because of the chemicals. They didn't kill them. But when we're growing naturally and normally, then the children can be a part of that landscape that we're creating. And they can flourish. They ain't got to be worried about bullets flying and all the other stuff that goes on in the city in close proximity. Because if I don't even hear ambulances. You know? Harvey, you heard the birds singing. I'm like the same way. I hear birds in the morning.
That's something.
My family. And you all deserve that, too. And I also want to do some workshops down here on grounding. Come on out here, and we can do grounding exercises. You can bury your feet in the sand and ground.
Yes. That would be fantastic. Well, here we go.
It's a whole new world.
It's
we
a
gotta
whole
create
new
it.
World.
It's a whole new
we gotta,
world.
We got to create it. And I think once people see it happening, then they can get out of that mindset of helplessness. Because we've been holding on to that victim mentality too long, and it has us paralyzed.
And they have to see us moving and working and doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they see that, they can come out of it.
They can come out of it.
Become the new models.
That's right. That's right. That's what it takes. So I'm excited. And, you know, if I knew somebody somewhere that had some cows, I'll scoop up some natural fertilizer and bring it. We can go and fertilize all the ground out there.
Yeah, and you know what? There's something that you can begin doing now. That's composting. You know,
yeah.
Bringing your
well, I got some composting. I've been creating all
skins and
yep.
Apple peel, pear, any kind of vegetable scrap. You can save them and bring them out here so that we can put them in the compost pile and
yep.
Turn it into fertilizer, natural fertilizer.
Right.
So that's they've begun now with city people. City people need to do that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You gave me a great idea because, I mean, I got two big bins of composting material. I've been saving, like, you know, banana peels, potato skins, all that stuff. You know, you put it together with dried leaves and soil and all that, and it creates fertilizer. A lot of city people don't know that, and so they throw out things that could be recycled so we can actually create ways where people can recycle. Because we talked about that even when we did the farm show, you know, first time. Have three containers in your kitchen. One for recyclable things like cardboard and plastic. The others for recyclable food products you can use for compost, like your, you know, the peelings and so forth and shavings off of fruits and vegetables and all of that. And then your third one is, you know, your garbage, your waste that can't be recycled. You know, meat. Scrappings. You can't really recycle those. So that's basically garbage. That's going to go into whatever garbage landfill. But those other two things that can be reused. And Deborah, you were going to say?
Yeah, I have a question. When you have your three bins and the one that's for the compost,
mm-hmm.
You don't keep it in the house.
No, well, it would be in your kitchen until you take it outside.
Yeah.
You know, you're gathering
and
as you're cooking
it. Put it in another container.
Yeah,
outside,
and you can have it in
like
a container outside.
A metal container or a plastic container?
Yeah, because I have a big
can bag. I still store it in a plastic bag?
Well, once you take it outside, you're gonna take it out of the plastic
bag.
You're gonna bring it out here. You bring it out here in your plastic bag.
You can keep it in plastic until you take it to where you're gonna dump it in the soil.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
But what I have.
Keep it in plastic.
But what I have, because I have two of those. What do you call those plastic bins? Anyway, I have two plastic bins outside where I'm keeping all my composting. So I have all my food scraps in there. I've mixed it with things like dried grass and leaves because that's what you do. You mix it in there. And soil. Matter of fact, when I was doing the farming classes, I was explaining, you know, the what things are providing nitrogen, what things are providing carbon. Those are the things that you're mixing together that creates the fertilizer for the
right.
Natural fertilizer for the ground.
That's
so,
chemistry.
Yes. So hey, we're gonna be teaching chemistry as we
that's
teach
right.
farming.
That's what's
absolutely.
Needed.
Yes.
Because people didn't get it in school. They didn't
yeah.
get it.
Yeah.
We got to educate. Not just the children, but the parents, too.
Right.
We were miseducated.
Right. We were miseducated.
To be cultural. You know, culture comes out of agriculture. That's how culture
ooh,
develops.
Agriculture. Damn.
Agriculture, right. So with the culture develops, it's like say, math. How many rows you going to have? How many pounds of produce going to come as a result of how many rows?
Ooh.
You know, you can teach math in agriculture.
Yeah.
You can teach English. And I have a map of that, and I'm gonna get it to you all.
Mm.
A friend of mine has it in Chicago, but I got to get it from her. But it's a map, and it shows you how every educational element can be taught in this aspect of agriculture.
Oh, that's going to be great. We're going to take this land, and then we're going to bring young people out here to be working
the
land and help us harvest, to help them see, yes. They're going to see how it works. Yes.
They become what's called the 21st century industrialists, not
yes.
job seekers.
Right.
They're being engaged in industrial
yes.
development. agriculture is an industry.
Yes,
it Our children aren't introduced to industry in a positive way.
Right.
We have to do that.
Yes, we have to do that. And they will see the world differently. They'll see a plot of land differently. I'm telling you, when I learned the value of dandelions and dandelion greens, I saw the whole earth different. I go over to somebody's house for a barbecue. I'm looking in the grass like, ooh, food. You know, my house keep living up.
Do you do that? Do you go pick the dandelions?
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever make dandelion wine?
I haven't made the wine.
Alcohol, but it don't be alcoholic from my perspective.
Well, I made the dandelion chips and I made dandelion tea.
Right now.
Hey, see? So you got tea, you can make a snack, chips, you know, you can make greens, you know, you can make a meal. So it's so much that can be done with these plants that we have been poisoning as weeds all these years because, like you say, we've been miseducated. So once people see us do this, they'll see the value that we have. They'll see the wealth that they already have that they're living on and walking on every day. We are not poor people. We are wealthy beyond measure.
Right.
It's right in our
right.
hands. We just have to see it. So we can change this whole mindset and bring some excitement to it. When you
an adventure. I mean, really,
yeah.
We can have fun with this.
Have a lot of fun. And that'll change.
Create.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the Dow Museum out here?
Yeah, we saw that. Didn't we see the Dow Museum?
You saw it, right. People have things that they've been collecting, and they can't even get it out so that the world can see it because the energies aren't available who know how to do those kind of things, you know, when the creativity does come forth.
Yeah.
So we can draw unto us everything that we need. We just have to be in agreement. This is a sisterhood thing. We got to demonstrate that women can be liberated. We have that afforded.
Yeah.
We can't continue to allow the highest attainment of women was to create Roe versus Wade and the upholding of it and continual maintenance of it. No.
No.
Come on. We got to go beyond that.
Freedom is the freedom to create life. That's what makes you free, when you can create life and sustain and maintain life. That's freedom. And that's what women represent. And when we show that, we can inspire our daughters because our daughters need to see the power that they have as the creators of life. And I understand what you're saying, Rashida. Everybody can't be married. We have to redefine family, first of all. And second of all, when we see a sister who may be a single parent, we can't put that vibration on her that she has failed, you know, or any of that. Because whatever happened, whatever lesson she learned and the coming together, whatever brother it was that she made that life with or was the means through which that life came to this earth realm, we have to let her know she's still valuable, still powerful, she's still shaping a mind, a heart, and a soul, and she still has to love herself because you can't give what you don't have. And if you don't have love for yourself, you're not going to be able to give it to that child. You're only going to give them your anger, your feeling of shame, your feeling of low self-esteem and unworthiness. You're going to give that to them, and that's what they're going to give to the world. And that's
exactly,
what's going to happen.
Exactly, and that's what shows.
Yes.
That's what we got to grow men. That's a project in and of itself.
Yes.
Growing them so that they can be a part of what we're a part of. They can support us. We're doing something so meaningful that they come and they support and give of themselves to assist them. That way we attract men around us and around our children and into our lives. But we have to create a framework in which to manage it as it comes through. And that's community. We have to develop community. It's an organic process.
Yes, it is.
But once it gets going, it's like kudzu. You know, but y'all know about kudzu?
I've heard of that. I've seen it.
Everybody's been down the south and seen the plant that covers all the trees and stuff, the vine that grows real, real fast.
Yeah.
That's kudzu. We got to be like kudzu and growing men.
and you know, once the men rediscover who they are, they will be transformed. Because it's in them already. The greatness is in them already.
That's right.
It's been submerged. It's like covering something over with mud. You know, you got to dig the mud out, and you see the gold underneath. So that's what you got to do. Yeah.
All these brothers coming out of prison, they don't have a welcoming, nurturing, healing platform by which they can enter into. But them brothers is rich. They've been put aside to meditate. You know? They've had to come through some stuff.
So let's redefine even the time in prison. This is the time you've been set aside to meditate. So you can
just like Malcolm. You see what Malcolm came out doing, right?
Right. Be the caterpillar that is transformed into the butterfly. So when you come out, you're looking for the butterfly.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, at some point, we'll think about how to have a welcoming party.
When men come out of prison and they're ignored and they're injured and healed, the only people who accept them are the youth.
Yeah.
And then their negatives boil over into the youth. That's where the sagging pants come from and stuff. Because they're the ones who introduced it to the youth.
Right. Jail
That's
culture.
What they knew. And other things, too, and drugs. And they learn everything in prison.
Yeah.
Well, we got to counteract that, you know, cut that at the neck. So, like a weed, you just got to cut it. So weed.
Yeah.
And we know they're sending these brothers out to the community and weed. The community is not prepared to receive these men and women coming in from such a cruel institution.
Right. We don't know the damage they've been through. We don't understand even how to help them heal. Well, this is definitely the work for some higher conscious women, like the Female Solution. So
absolutely.
We'll make it happen.
Absolutely.
But I must say,
the sagging pants did not start in prison. It was interpreted in prison. Them folks down in the South, remember the ones that had the suspenders? Of the men only discussion led by our brother Kareem Hamid.
It was exciting, wasn't it? Oh,
yes.
He was so excited. I picked up his emotions. I am 100% behind them.
Yes. Well,
they can do it. They can pull it off. We have to support them.
We have to support them. Let them know we believe in them. We believe in what they're doing. We're giving them our 100% support, encouragement.
We're hopeful.
I think they can pull it off. I think they can with us behind them and us doing what we're doing. They can do it. They'll be able to do it.
I believe so. And because men are often inspired by women. And
that's
the prayer.
Yes. So with
constant prayer.
Constant prayer.
Yes, with constant prayer. Absolutely.
Those who have been set aside for some private time to meditate. We're going to encourage them to do that as well.
That's right.
Time to meditate and to transform like the caterpillar in the cocoon. They're there for transformation, and they're going to come out.
Malcolm X becomes the example.
Yes.
He went in and transformed. He went to three transformations, or maybe four.
Yes, he did.
So he was the gangster. The criminal, then he went in, he became a Muslim, and then he came out and he did the work of God. Then he really met God in terms of the fullness of all people being one.
Absolutely.
So that was a transformation. Those were four transformations that he went through. And, yeah, meditation and mindfulness set aside time, Naima.
That's right. That's what we're going to call it from now. Well, all right, y'all. So let's see, tomorrow we have Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, so join us for then. And as always, we appreciate everybody who is a part of the solution. We are here to transform the world, to make it the way it should be, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, sisters.
Shalom.
Namaste.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.